saying to Tommy there, the children didn't come, but yous are excused from coming today. I didn't know that. So you're off the hook. You know, it's good to have the children say the verse, praise the Lord. I want to try to speak about potential this morning. Potential from above. And I hope I don't take the word out of its context. Or, you know, I could have changed that word potential till inspiration, but I thought I'd just stick with the word potential. And as a scripture reading this morning, we'll turn to the book of Judges. And this is a well-known story, and it's Judges chapter 6. And I'll try to read from verse 11 down to 14. And it's the story of Gideon and how that the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and spoke to Gideon and gave him a commission. And, you know, Gideon had great potential and he didn't recognize it. And I'll talk a wee bit about potential if I can. And we'll begin the reading here at verse 11, and just bear with me, there's some big words in here that I can't really pronounce them. And you know, when I was going to school, I was something else. I don't know what I was. I wasn't good at reading or writing or spelling. I think I was better then than I am now. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Oprah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abbasrite. I don't know if I'm saying that correct. But anyway, we'll go on. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? We'll ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, this morning we thank you for this opportunity of coming into your house again. We know, Lord, your word will not return unto you void, but it will prosper in the thing whereto you do send it. And Lord, you sent your word and healed your people. Amen. And delivered them from fear. Yes. And Lord, we say, do it again. Lord, do it among us this morning. Do it in our hearts and do it in our souls. Do it in this room, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And let everything that's said here this morning and even this afternoon bring glory and honor to your name. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and give you all the glory. And we say, not unto us, Lord, but unto thy great name be all the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. I don't think I've struggled as much in long, long time to have a word or put something together for to preach, and I really, really took up a lot of time. Well, maybe not a lot of time, but just could not get this here sorted out, what I believe the Lord was speaking or what the Lord was trying to tell me. And you know, it's an awful thing to say this, but I got part of my inspiration from eating a packet of potato crisps. And you shouldn't always go to a packet of potato crisps to get your inspiration. But What it said, listen to what it said on there, just a wee slogan. What it was said on there. It said, some people see potatoes, but we see potential. Now, I'm not a great scholar, but what does the word potential mean? It means that you can become something. Potential is something that you can attain to, or it's an ability that you can have and maybe not realize that you have got it. That's potential. You have a potential to become greater, or a potential to become something that you're not really, something that you're not really are at the moment, but you can become that. Amen. And you know, when I started thinking about potatoes, let me say this, and you know, most people here know, and I believe they'll agree with me, you can't beat a British queen. Especially new potatoes. And you can't beat a British queen. They're lovely and a bit of, and you know, the British queen on its own is enough, it'll do me. But whenever them people who make the potato crisps, they see an opportunity, they see potential for that potato to turn into something else. Now, it's still a potato, but it becomes, it's presented in a different way, it serves a different purpose, or it's serving a different purpose, or it's doing a different thing. And you know, it becomes a packet of crisps, I mean, it's only a potato, or it could become mashed potatoes, or it could become roast potatoes. Now, if you're going to be going home today, I tell you, you should all eat your dinner. It's going to become maybe a roast potato, or maybe a plate of chips. Who wouldn't want a plate of chips tonight? Or who wouldn't want chips on Friday night? We all love our chips, don't we? But you see the potential there. There's a but now on a more spiritual side, you see what happens to the potatoes. First of all, the potatoes are sorted. They're picked. Or you could say they're chosen. And when the farmer brings them into the field, I worked at the spuds. We called them spuds. I worked at the spuds. I served my time with working at the spuds. And it was all, usually for somebody else. I done the donkey and they collected the money. Well, anyway, what happens? The potatoes is brought into the store and then they're stored. And then you put them over the picker. And when you put them over the picker, there's certain categories, there's certain sizes, and you see if there's a defect, you lift that out, you take it out. Now, you see, the Word of God is a separator. And whenever them potatoes goes over that picker, they're separated. And there's the chosen ones. It's the ones that the farmer wants. You know, God wants you because He chose to have you.
Amen.
He chose you as an individual. And you know what does the housewife do with a potato when she brings it home? You know what she does with them? No, my woman does. And she gives off to me because I don't have to do it. She washes them. She puts them in the sink and she washes them. Jesus said, now are you clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. The word of God is not only a sanctifier and a separator, but the word of God is a cleaner.
Yes.
It'll clean you up. And you know, if you're feeling guilty, if you're feeling you've let the Lord down, if you feel that you've done something you ought not to do, get to the word of God and it'll wash you and it'll regenerate you and it'll revitalize you and it'll make you feel that God's very near and that you're near to God. Hallelujah. Now, that's just an introduction. Now, you see how that potato thing got me got me thinking. I want to say this morning, you've got potential.
Amen.
And I've written it down here. I mightn't use all these notes. If I use them all, you'll be getting out tonight sometime. But, you know, I've written down here the best or the greatest potential that you can have is to be a part of what God is doing today. There's no other potential like that. If you've got the potential, God wants you to have the potential, and I believe you've got that potential, and I've called it potential from above, that you are a part of what God is doing today. Now, you see, there's potential. People want a potential or have a potential to achieve things. And Brother George and I was talking about Harry Ferguson just before we came in. And he had great potential, hadn't he, brother? And he put it into action. He done something about it. You know, God wants us always to put our potential into action and be willing to do something about it. Now, you'll say, I'm an old girl, but listen, I want you to look at these steps. This is only an illustration. I make trouble. I want somebody to come and tell me the fault with them. No, that might be okay, Phil, but no, that's not what I'm thinking. No handrail. When you come up these steps, you come to this point, you have the potential to walk all straight. You know, if I was talking to the man who made these, now I know he's got hands on them. He's better hands on them than I have. But you know what I'd asked him? You know the first question I'd asked him? I'd say, why did you run out of steam? Did you run out of steam? You see, when you come up here, you can go any room. Where's room for that, eh? You can go on straight. You must go right. We don't always go right. We need someone to steer us.
Amen.
We don't always do what we're meant to do. We don't always go the right way. And you know, I think about them steps. Well, you get that way when you get old, maybe. You see wee things. And you know what it is? It's the wee foxes that spoils the vine. It's not the big things. It's the wee. Now, they've done well, didn't they? Like they're strong. I can't go down. I can't go down to them, they're sturdy, and you'll hardly crack them up, mate. But you can walk on, you can take a head though. M has the potential for an accident. Health and safety man. You shall be calling me the health and safety man. Just call me the health man. You know, when God gives you potential to do something, it's going to be perfect.
That's right. Amen.
When God gives you something, doesn't need anything added to it.
No.
Doesn't need that. There needs something added to it. Now, no disrespect to the person who made that. No disrespect to them. If it was a man or a woman, no disrespect to them. But when God gives you something, and God wants to give you that potential, He wants to give you the full amount. He wants to give you exactly what you need to carry out the purpose, or to carry out the job, or to achieve, or to have that ability. He doesn't want to pay you short. He wants to pay you in full. He wants to give you that which will potential that you can have is to have or to be a part of what God wants to do in your life today. And you know, also, there's something about Gideon. When this angel come down to Gideon and spoke to Gideon. Now, when the Lord comes and speaks to you, that's the first thing that happened in the life of Gideon here. He had a visitation from God. He had an angel of the Lord come down, and that angel came right to where he was. You know, God can come to where you are, and when God can come to where you are, he's not going to come to you and not say anything. God's going to come to you. When he comes to you, he's going to speak to you.
Amen.
You know, I heard a man preaching one time, and he preached that God never speaks to his people. Well, I don't know where he got that from. God speaks to people every day. God speaks to you today, but you need to have your ears on and you need to have them opened. And God speaks all the time. God doesn't go silent, I believe. God speaks all the time. And one of the ways he wants to speak and does speak is by his word. Now, God can speak to you through a ministry, through a preacher. He can speak to you through a hymn. He can speak to you when you're eating a packet of potato crisps. He can speak to you when you're driving your car. He can speak when you're doing your work. He can speak when you're washing the dishes. He can speak whatever you're doing. God can come and speak to you. And I want you to know that God came and he spoke to Gideon. He did. He spoke to him. And that was the first thing that happened to Gideon. God spoke to him. Now, let me just read that. In verse 12 of Judges chapter 6. And this is an example of potential from heaven, or an example of inspiration from heaven. And the Bible tells us in verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now you see, God come down, that angel come down right to where Gideon was and appeared unto him and spoke to him. Never underestimate God and God's ability to speak to you. Now you see, I've written it down here that Gideon did not believe he was what the Lord said he was. And whenever this angel of the Lord come down to Gideon, we know that Gideon was threshing wheat beside the wine press. And he was threshing that wheat in there so that the Midianites wouldn't see him. He was hiding. Gideon was hiding. He was... Why was Gideon hiding? Gideon was hiding because he had a fear on him. There was a fear on him. And what was the fear? The fear was that the Midianites would come and they'd steal away what he was doing. They would take it away. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And you know, I always say this, and I'm going to say it again, to have life is one thing, but to have abundant life not only means that you have got life, but also that you have got life to spare. That you have got enough for yourself and a little to give to somebody else. And you know, that potential comes from God. That potential doesn't... Now, let me say this in case I forget to say it. We don't have anything of ourselves. We don't have any potential of ourselves. But what we have, our sufficiency is of God. And your sufficiency this morning is not of your own self to do something for God, but your sufficiency to do something for God is of God, and it's from God. And here, this angel of the Lord, he comes down to Gideon and he says to Gideon, first of all, he says, the Lord's with you. The Lord is with you. That's some statement. You see, what's wrong today? Daniel, we believe that. And he says, the Lord is with you. And he didn't only say that the Lord is with you. He says, you're a mighty man of valor. A mighty man of valor hiding. You see that? Now when God puts his hand on somebody, when God touches somebody, when God moves on somebody, when God comes and speaks to somebody. Now, I don't want to leave that business about God speaking. See if God ever speaks to you. And he has. How do I know he spoke to you? You could never be saved outside of God speaking to you. You can never be saved outside of God. God had to speak to you first. And you got saved when he spoke to you. You hear him. You hear his voice calling you. You could never receive anything from God outside of him speaking to you. If he didn't speak to you, you're lost. And Gideon here, he was in that place when the angel came and spoke to him and said to him, the Lord is with you. Now, he said, he went on to say, you're a mighty man of valor. And here was Gideon hiding. But Gideon, thank God, he came later, he realized that God had spoke to him. And later on, he realized that God was with him. And you see, the problem is today, people doesn't recognize when God speaks. Maybe God speaks and people don't recognize it. And you know, Gideon, whenever Gideon had heard from God, whenever the Lord had spoke to Gideon, it wasn't all plain sailing. Because you read about him and you know that I didn't read the full story to save time, but whenever Gideon started to do what the Holy Ghost, what the Lord was telling him to do, there was an uproar. There was a whole uproar. What did he do? He tore down the altars of Baal. Tore down the false religion. Tore down the false worship. Set up the altar of the Lord, the true worship.
Amen.
Had a blood sacrifice.
Yes.
And I tell you, there was an uproar. And they got up the next morning and Baal altar was burnt. It's not right. It was burnt. They missed the 11th night bonfire. It was burnt. And they said, till Gideon bring, who done this? Or they said, it was Gideon done it. And they said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die. But listen, when God speaks to a man, when God speaks into your heart, when God gives you a word, it'll not matter what anybody else thinks about it. It'll not matter what the devil's plans are. It'll not matter what the enemy's plans are. When God says he's going to do something, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. When God says he's going to put his hand on you, God's going to do what he said he would do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, he said to him, you're a mighty man of valor. Now, I said that Gideon was in there and he was threshing wheat. And he threshed wheat by the wine press so the Midianites wouldn't see him. And I said he had a fear in his heart. I've written it down here somewhere. I've written down, the Lord didn't see a man who had fear in his heart. Now Gideon had a bit of fear. If he had no fear, why was he doing what he was doing? Some people will tell you they've got no fear and they're living on drugs.
That's right.
Living on drugs. They're living on doctors. Now, God bless doctors. God bless nurses. But some people say they have no fear. They'll knock you down to get the job. If you have no fear, why did you get it? Never. You know, I was going to speak today about judgment. And I was torn between two things because I was going to speak about judgment. Let me say this. And I don't care if it's on record. God's going to judge this world. And God's going to judge people who have murdered other people. And God is going to hold people responsible who have invented evil diseases to spread among this world, to reduce the population, and to sever. They're going to try to have a people like Hitler had. They want to have a special race. And we have men like Bill Gates who want to rule the world. And we have a man sitting in Rome who is already ruling the world, the Antichrist. I believe that's who he is. And the Bible says the whole world wandered after the beast. But one of these days God's going to come and he's going to judge the world. And let me say this also. Israel is under constant attack. Israel is under constant attack. And you know, this same evil spirit, now the Lord allowed it to happen there. And he's allowing it to happen again. And these last days, but I didn't read it, but you can read it here. The Bible says that Israel cried unto the Lord. And when they cried unto the Lord sent them a prophet. And the prophet said, you haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord. And you know, they went a whoring after other gods. And they turned aside from the truth. They turned aside from the Bible. They turned aside from the Word of God. They turned aside from the commandments of God. And they began to do their own things. We're living in a world today where the government is rotten. The government has forgot God. The government has forgot the Word of God. They've forgot the commandments of God. They're living in sin. They're promoting sin. They're promoting the sodomites. Anything that's evil, every cage of every foul board was found in whore, and the blood of the saints was found in whore. I want to say they've murdered babies. We talk about the rainbow crowd. You see, they've took something that was right and perverted it. Turned it, made it say something that it never said. You know, Israel's going to pray to God, and God's going to come himself.
Amen.
And he's going to deliver them.
Amen.
The Bible tells me, as birds flying, so will he save Israel. Now that could be the Israeli Air Force, but it also could be the angels of the Lord.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, there's no weapon that can kill an angel. There's nothing that can hurt an angel. There's no earthly power. An angel can go through the atomic bomb and still be the same as he was before he went near it. They're indestructible. But here, I don't want to get off the subject. I want to stay with this. You see, God never saw a man that was full of fear when he saw Gideon. I want to say this morning. Never fear what the enemy can do. Never be afraid of the enemy. But Gideon here, the Lord has written it down. The Lord saw a man that would be fearless under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And what did Jesus say? He said, fear not, only believe. And you know, whenever you take on you just to believe, God can do something. God can take you and use you. God can do something. You've got a potential. Now, I'm moving on. I'm spending a lot of time. And I said that Gideon didn't really believe what was spoke to him, what was said of him. He didn't really believe it. Because in verse 13, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of? Where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You know, Gideon refers to miracles. Gideon was a man who kept the testimonies of miracles in his heart, because he referred to the miracles of days gone by. Gideon was a man who had the stories told to him how that God had done in days gone by. And Gideon, I believe, he refers to these miracles now. He says the Lord has left us. He had it in his heart that the Lord has left us and there was no miracles. You know, I said that that spirit that wanted to destroy Israel is still alive today. But also that Antichrist spirit that tells you there's no miracles today is still alive. And it was, you see, today people are saying there's no more supernatural ability. There's no more miracles. There's no more supernatural ability. Well, that's not true. Let me say what I heard a man saying once, and I thought it was well spoken. He said there never was a miracle work. There never was a day of miracles. There never was a day of miracles. This is what he said. There never was a day of miracles. Only a God with miracle working power. Amen. And he has never changed. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what God done yesterday, God can do today. What God never changes. Now, I don't know if I said it or not, but God doesn't need to have any potential. God doesn't need to have any potential. Why does God not need any potential? Because God can never be made better. God can never do anything more. I mean, now what I mean is, God can never be improved. He's God.
Amen.
He's Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord.
Amen.
He's Almighty God. He's the self-existent one.
Yes.
He's the one that lives. He's the one that said, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death." So God doesn't need to improve. God doesn't need to change. And he says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you're not consumed." So God doesn't need to change, or God never changes. And you know, whenever I think about Mary, whenever Mary, the angel came to Mary and told Mary how that the Holy Ghost would overshadow her. And then, you don't have to turn to it, but I have it written down here. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, the angel said to Mary, he said these words to her. He said many things to her, but he said these words in verse 37 of Luke's Gospel chapter 1. He says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, you're listening well, and I don't want to take up too much of your time this morning, but listen, when God's with you, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
When God's with you, moving among his people, nothing is impossible. You see, we get people today and say, "Oh, that can't happen today. That might have happened yesterday, but that can't happen today." And even Gideon here was saying, "Lord, if you're with us, why is all these things happening to us? Why is the Midianites, why do they control us? Why do they ruin our crops? And why do they possess our land? And why do they take from us the good things that we have? And why are we impoverished because of them?" You see, Gideon asked the questions, but the Lord said, "You're a mighty man of valor." The Lord said, "I'm with you. You're a mighty man of valor." The Lord said, "You can do it." That's what God's saying to Gideon. He said to Gideon, "You can do it." Now, I have to move on. And I said that Gideon didn't believe what he was really told. But God was going to do it, and God was doing it. Now, Gideon comes up with all the excuses. But remember, he still had the testimony of the miracles in his life. It's good to talk about miracles. It's good to talk about the supernatural.
Amen.
It's good to recite the things that God done that was supernatural. I want to tell you a story, and I'm going to be brief. I'm going to tell you this story. Now, evangelist Reinhard Bunke is not on the scene no more. The Lord has took him home. But Reinhard Bunke had a ministry to go to Africa. And when he went to Africa, God really used him. And he saw some mighty things, and he saw multitudes saved. He not only saw multitudes saved, but he saw them filled with the Holy Ghost. And he saw miracle after miracle, miracle after miracle. And I remember seeing a video once of Reinhard Bunke, and there were 6 or 7 blind people come up to the front and they were prayed for. And I think there was only one of them that didn't receive his sight in that meeting. And I remember hearing a testimony where Reinhard Bunke was given a testimony of how that he started out to preach, and he went to preach in Africa, and he made a statement from the pulpit. Now, he was waiting on another man to come to pray for the sick, and the other man let him down. The other man didn't come, and Reinhard Bunke was compelled to pray for the sick himself. Now, he didn't want to pray for the sick, but he had the potential, and he didn't realize it. Now, I'm talking to you this morning, have you realized the potential that God has given you? Because you could have potential that God has given you and you haven't really realized it, and you're not using it, you're not acting upon it. And Reinhard Bunke was preaching in the meeting, and the Holy Ghost was on him, and he said, I want every person in this meeting who is totally blind to stand to your feet, for very soon you're going to see a white man. 4 people stood to their feet, and 4 people received their sight. Now that's a miracle. That's a supernatural event which only God can do. The devil doesn't heal anybody. If the devil could heal you, he'd be a creator. But he can't create nothing. He can't do anything like that. All he can do is distort and destroy something that's right. He can make it wrong. But God's a creator, and God's a healer. Now, them 4 people stood to their feet, and they received their sight, and all you heard over the building was, I can see, I can see, I can see. And listen to what I was wanting to tell you. Reinhard Bunke had a meeting, I can't remember exactly the place in Africa, but it was in Africa. It maybe was Zimbabwe, but I don't, or Transvaal, or somewhere anyway, but the name has maybe changed anyway, of that certain part in Africa. But he had a meeting, and the meeting was over, and he was going home, and he was the last person to leave the campsite. Has anybody heard this testimony? Well, I'm glad if you haven't heard it for some times. If you've heard something, you say, oh, sure, I know that, but anyway. He was driving through the elephant grass. Now, the elephant grass is 3 meters tall to 4 meters tall. It's the way up 9 foot, 10 foot high, the elephant grass. And he was driving through the elephant grass, and it was pitch dark at night, and he had just the lights of his car. And as he drove there, all of a sudden, this young man appeared in the front of him, and he stopped the car because he would have run over him. And he said to the young man, what are you doing? And the young man said, I knew you would come this way, and that's why I waited here for you. And he says, I know the meeting's over, but he says, I want you to pray for me. And the Reinhard Bunke says, well, all right. He says, no, I want you to pray for me that the Holy Ghost will come on me. I want to receive the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this, because you hear a lot of stories about tongues, and it's a lot of nonsense. You hear always the bad bit. This is the good bit. That young man stood there, and Reinhard Bunke got out of his car, and he laid hands on him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost fell on that young man. And when the Holy Ghost fell on him, Reinhard Bunke says he bent backwards, he bent forwards, and he went sideways. And he said he began to speak with going to be no. It's, you're not going to sit there like a, what I call them boys, a slapped up. And now my, what is he doing?
Dead.
He's dead, but not, he's a mummy. There's no mummies with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says he that was bound stood forth. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. But listen, that young man went back to his village. Now he was speaking with tongues. You know, you go to some churches, you speak with tongues, you have to leave. You're not allowed. Why, it's off the devil. It's very funny if it's off the devil when it's in the Bible.
That's right.
It's very funny if God changed his mind or if God made a mistake. But that young man went back to his village, and when he went back to his village, he met there a woman, and the woman was carrying her son who was dying with a fever. And 3 or 4 weeks before that, her other son had already died with the same plague. Now, I may be not making a good job of this, talking about potential, but when you get potential, you also, it'll bring opportunity. Potential and opportunity goes hand in hand. And he met the woman was carrying her son, and he was dying. And he goes to that woman and he says to her, lady, do you mind if I pray for your boy? Now he was dying. I say, amen, he was dying. And the woman says, by all means, pray for him. And he laid hands on that young boy that was dying, and he prayed for him, and God healed him immediately. He was immediately made whole. He was healed immediately. That woman went to the chief of the tribe. She went to the chief of the tribe and she said, there's a young man called David. He prayed for my son and he was dying, and now the Lord has healed him. The chief says, bring that young man, I want to see him. They brought that young man to the chief, and the chief said, you prayed for that boy and the Lord healed him. And the young fellow says, yes, the Lord has done it. The Lord done it. It wasn't me, it was the Lord. He says, I want you to go into that hut because my daughter's in that hut. Now, I think she was 20 years old and above, and she had never walked. She had never walked. And the chief said, go in there and pray for my daughter. And that young man went into that hut and he began to pray for the chief's daughter. And as he prayed for the chief's daughter, he could hear like bones snapping. And the chief said, go in, I'm waiting outside. And while the chief waited outside, he could hear the young man praying. And the next thing he saw was his daughter come walking out to him. Completely made whole by the power of God. Hallelujah. That's God's ability. That's God's working. That's the supernatural ability when God takes to do something. There isn't anything in this world can stop it. You know, I seem to be taking an awful time this morning. You see, what am I trying to say to you? Never underestimate the ability that God can give you. Never underestimate the ability that God has given you. God wants to do great things to believe. And the Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. You know, I have to come to a close. I feel I've spent my time, but you see, Gideon wasn't convinced. In verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You see, when God sends a man, it'll bring deliverance. When God sends a man, that's what makes the difference. You know, you've listened real well. I'm sorry, I'm sorry I didn't bring it across maybe better than what I did. But that's only one example. You know, the Bible's full of examples. I think about the story of the four leprous men that Brother Laurie preached about, the four leprous men. Remember that? Such a sermon. I think about the story also, I think it was Brother Gary preached, God takes the foolish things, or was it Brother Laurie again? God takes the foolish things. God can take you. God can use you. You know, I think about these four leprous men, and they sat in the gate of Samaria, and they said to themselves, why sit we here until we die? I love that story. He said, why sit we here till we die? But you know something? Don't forget this. It's God. It's God. First of all, God had spoke a word by a prophet. And the word was that tomorrow there was a famine, you see. There was nothing. You know, there's like a famine in the land today for the word of the Lord, isn't there? There's like a famine for the things of God. People are saying, oh no, that can't happen. And our people, they're not interested. One of these days, Jesus is going to come. Jesus said, when he, the Son of Man, has come, will he find faith on the earth? But here these four leprous men were sitting there. And the Bible says they rose up in the twilight hour. The day was almost spent. But there was still time for them to do something. It doesn't matter how far the day is on, there's still time for God to take you and use you. And you know, these four men, there's something about them. They become a part of something that God was wanting to do. And there were only four lepers, men. They were lepers. And what did they do? They said, why sit we here till we die? And the Bible says they rose up in the twilight hour. It was ready to pass. The day was almost gone. The twilight. And then four men got up and they said, let us fall into the hands of the Syrians. For he says, if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they don't save us alive, we shall but die. What? They didn't love their lives unto death. They said, what about it? We'll die. If they kill us, we'll die. Well, what about that? We're not concerned. They didn't love their lives unto death. You know what Jesus said? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he said, he that tries to save his life will lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You know, I didn't say this and I have to say it before I sit down. What the Lord come and spoke to Gideon affected Gideon. It also affected the nation. Did you hear that? It didn't only affect Gideon, it affected the nation of Israel. He brought deliverance.
Amen.
You see them four lepers, men, when they got up and started heading to the host of the Syrians, it brought deliverance.
Hallelujah.
It brought revival.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When people got up the next morning, there was an old boy there, the Bible says there was a Lord in whose hand the king leaned on. And he said, if the Lord would make windows on heaven, might this thing be. In other words, it can't happen today. And the word was from the Lord, you'll see it with your eyes, but you'll not eat thereof. And the Bible says he was opened up the gates and he was trampled to death in the stampede. Boy, he saw it, but he never tasted it. You know, God doesn't want you only to see it. He wants you to taste it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to come and sit down. Tommy's going to come. I want to thank you for listening. You've listened well. I'm not sure of the time, but I think we're not too late. But God bless you. Father, this morning we bless you for your word. Lord, I've maybe mixed it up a bit. But Lord, I pray that people in this room will recognize that you can give them a heavenly potential, that you can allow us to be a part of what you want to do, Lord. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that it'll not only bless us and help us, but it'll bless and help others. And Lord, we thank you when we hear your voice, and when we obey your voice, it's always for our good. And it's always, Lord, that you will help us to have an improvement. And we ask, Lord, that we'll have an improvement concerning spiritual gifts. I ask, Lord, we'll have an improvement concerning the moving of the Holy Spirit among us. And Lord, we're not saying you're not here. No, Lord, we're not going to say you. We know you are here. And we know you're moving by your Spirit. I pray, God, you'll add to us. And you'll increase us. And you'll bless us. And you'll meet needs. We pray again, Lord, for that dear woman, Brother Keith's wife. We ask you, Lord, you'll touch her now. In Jesus' name. We curse that cancer in Jesus' name. We come against you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. We speak health. We speak strength. And we speak the power of God to come over that sister right now in the name of Jesus. We ask that from this moment, Lord, she begin to lament in Jesus' name. And Lord, help us not to fear what the enemy can do, but help us, Lord, to only fear what you'll do and be a part of what you're doing in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters, and thank you for listening.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet one. We'll maybe sing that song, Terry, with harps and with vows. There stands a great throng. God can do anything, praise God. And you know, it's really, I'd never heard that story of Reinhard Bunke, but it was wonderful. And I tell you, he was really a mighty man of God. And the Lord's still the same. Amen. With harps and with vows.
And with fire.